What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to Lockdown Universe, home of the bizarre, peculiar, and unheard of stories of UFO legend and paranormal lore. Welcome back. Welcome back. Happy to be back. Hopefully you guys are doing awesome and taking care of yourselves. I apologize, the recording stopped, so we're going to have to start up with episode number 3, and we're going to talk about a couple more witnesses and play a little bit of audio, and then we are going to talk about Mr. Ben's great-grandfather. I'm sorry, grandfather. He is great, but he's just grandfather. So what Ben did was to track down somebody who actually did reverse engineering on this ship. And at Wright Pat, he found some documents that led him to Mark Magruder, who is the son of a reverse engineer. So I'm going to play this for you so you can listen in on it.
Nice to see you.
Mark Magruder's father, Mac, worked for the Air Force Special Projects Division. Before he died in 1997, he told his son everything he saw and did as a back engineer working with alien craft.
Your dad was a World War II hero. He's well respected. Mark, when did you first learn about this other career life that your father had?
He ended up going to his grave with so much information, and it turns out he was involved the whole time on his deathbed.
Unreal,
man. My dad
man.
Said, I have carried this terrible secret all my life. You have no idea what I've seen and done. In 1947, my dad was invited to the Wright Patterson.
Imagine this.
And they went into the hangar. And inside the hangar, there was this material. It was so strong, but so lightweight.
You mean a kind of metal?
Yes. And they put two and two together. And they knew there was the Roswell crash.
Wait.
Jenny Zeidman claimed a metallurgical company named Battelle was interested in the Roswell UFO. Could this be the material they were analyzing?
See, this is the stuff that Eisenhower was talking about. He was saying, hey, guys, watch out for the military-industrial complex. These guys are going to be taking over the world, and you're not even going to know about it. Now, this next document is pretty interesting, too, because they talk about how the once they found all this stuff, they decided to have some debriefings about how to defend against an alien attack.
There's people that would say that this didn't happen, and I've got the proof that it did. I have the declassified Air War College study.
Mark, this is April 48, so this was just, let's see, like, what, 8 months after the Roswell crash?
Yes.
We have witnesses who saw the expert debris being transported to Wright-Patterson.
Yep.
But with your father's credentials and here physical proof that your father was there, this is huge. It verifies that the UFO crash material was at Wright-Patterson from the Roswell debris.
Yeah, that's correct.
So I could see this was classified at one time.
The documents Mark inherited from his father are a treasure trove of information regarding the activity at Wright-Patterson.
Treasure trove. They have words like Egyptian. Shocking.
Wait a second. What is it? A lecture in room number 1, alien enemy control and related problems? They labeled this in the agenda. Oh, we're going to talk about alien control today. And the fact that we can verify this is from a freedom information request directly from the DOD. Mark, this is just incredible.
See? That's what blows my mind, man, is that, like, this stuff is out there. Somebody's got it. Somebody has it at their house. They're chilling with the dogs. They're drinking coffee. And the shit's just sitting at their house, just like all them emails at Hillary Clinton's computer, just like all the stuff that Trump was hiding, all the stuff that everybody has. They have all these guys have all this classified material, man. Everybody, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat or work for the black government or dark government or secret government, man, people got this shit just hanging out at their house, and we should know at least a little bit about it, and they're keeping it hush hush. It's pissed me off.
It's information that nobody really knew was out there, and there's some interesting things that are revealed.
After decades of silence, Mac finally told his son what he witnessed on that haunting trip to Wright-Patterson.
They went in, into the hangar, and inside the hangar was all of the things that were definitely alien, you know, not from this world.
What materials exactly did he see?
They had really lightweight pieces of beams that had what looked like hieroglyphics on them.
The alien material and hieroglyphic etchings are similar to those described by the witnesses of the Kecksburg and Roswell crashes, as well as by abductees who claimed they were taken aboard UFOs.
Isn't that interesting? So we...
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
You have not only... two totally separate parts of the planet, right? You have Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, and you got Roswell, New Mexico. I mean, you couldn't be farther apart. And then you also have people who were abducted that say that the same symbols are there. And then you have people that are on the other side of the world that are like Jim Peniston and Burroughs, who were Air Force security forces who saw that triangular ship that landed at the Rendlesham Forest that had hieroglyphic-like writing on it too. Is this all the same language, or is it a totally, are these different alien species all the way around? Why are some of them in triangular-like craft that are seem to be only big enough for one or two people? Not talking about the big ones. I'm talking about this was a small craft. It was only like 9 feet long. And then you have this acorn craft with hieroglyphic-like writing. And then you have, you know, other much larger craft that where abductees are taken up in that have this hieroglyphic-like writing. Now, when it comes to language, I mean, it's hard to differentiate sometimes. If you were an alien and you came and you got, maybe humans were abducting aliens and one was from America and another ship was from Russia, you might say, oh, well, they had like these like swirly like, you know, letters that, you know, that looked similar. But if you look at ours and the Russians, it to an alien, it might seem similar. But to us, it's clearly different. It's clearly a different alphabet altogether, much less, you know, just a language. So so it could be that these are still different types of aliens in general, or they could be the same. Fascinating, fascinating stuff here. So now we're finally getting down to Ben Hansen's grandfather, Merlin Hansen, who worked for a secret part of the government, who stated that his job was, you know, like a computer engineer and that kind of thing. And he stated that he would not be able to be contacted other than one particular phone number, and he'd have to leave a message, and then he'd have to get back to him. So there's no direct way to get to him because the government wanted to compartmentalize everybody and keep everybody quiet. But I'm going to play you what his father, Ben's father, tells him about his grandfather, Merlin, who I believe worked at Wright-Patterson as well.
He said, son, I've accepted an assignment with the government, and I'm not going to be accessible to the family, but there'll be one phone number that you will have to call and leave a message. And I'll try to communicate when I can.
What was the first time you realized that this assignment was taking place?
It started to unfold in 65.
Did
he tell you where he was going?
Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Ben's grandfather was an industrial engineer and computer scientist who was sent to Wright-Patterson to install an early computing system. Is it possible he saw the reverse engineering of the Roswell and Ketchburg UFOs firsthand?
Who better than a computer expert to get their hands on this brand new piece of equipment and work on it, right? They need an engineer. A computer engineer would be helpful, wouldn't it? And it's pretty interesting because check this out. He starts putting the pieces together.
Chronology and confirmed dates that he was gone.
Here are letters to the Motor Lodge.
So this is you writing him.
Right. I'd let him know how the family was, how Mom's health was.
I wasn't sure if Grandpa had actually told you, you know, which specific times he was going to Wright-Patterson or somewhere else, but here we have exact dates. So let's look at the timeline that we've put together.
Check this out.
Wait a second. December 9th. And 10th of 65 that weekend. Are you sure about that?
Absolutely positive.
You know what happened December 9th of 65? Ketchburg, Pennsylvania, UFO crash.
Bam, motherfucker. Where was he at? He was going off to write Pat. That's right. He was going to go check out this Ketchburg UFO. Why would they call him up and say, hey, we need your ass to show up over at Wright Pat? They just happened to just capture that acorn from Ketchburg and transfer it on over that same night. They say, get your ass over here. We want you here by tomorrow so that we can check this out, do our testing, and do it fast. Bam.
Ben Hansen is investigating what happened to the debris of the Roswell and Ketchburg UFOs after they crashed. He is convinced that they were taken to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
So they used to do that. Now they're not even taking them to Wright-Pat anymore. They're taking them to someplace else because Wright-Pat got outed. So now they have like S4 and S2, and they have other bases now too, man. You pull up to a house, and you get into that house, and there's an elevator in there. That elevator takes you down, takes you to a maglev train. You jump in that maglev train, and that maglev train takes you miles out to another base that's underground, and nobody ever knows about it. And when you pull up to this house, there's a huge barn in the back where you can park your car, then go into the house, jump on the maglev train, go in, do your work for 8 hours, go back in the maglev train, go up the elevator, jump in the car, and go home. That's what they got now. So you're never going to know where these bases are because they're all underground now, deep underground military bases. So what's really cool in the show is that they look through all of these dates that their dad, his grandfather, had to leave. And they piece them together with all of these different alien crashes, the different flaps that happened in Montana and down south in the southern states. And that's exactly when his grandfather was gone and he was called out to go on these trips. It's really fascinating. But anyway, the last point I wanted to make for his father states that he called his father, the grandfather, on that one secure line.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive help supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When the grandmother was in the hospital and she was dying, and this is what they got.
Grandma was in the hospital.
Yes. At the time, the doctor said, you better get in touch with your dad. So I called and left a message. Please get in touch with me.
So what you're telling me is when your mom, Grandma, was at the point of death in March of 66, that he couldn't even come home from what he was doing to come back to his own wife.
Yeah.
You're talking about somebody who, on paper, Grandpa is a technical engineer who maintains the computer systems. And so what's happening in Wright-Patterson then is something so important, he can't even come back to take care of Grandma who's dying.
Yeah, he came home and I pushed him on what was so important, and he avoided me. That was it. I knew that something else had been happening all along, and I could never get him to talk to me about it until the night of September 4, 1996. We're at the Salt Lake Regional Medical Center. He's dying, and I'm the only one with him. And then, out of nowhere, I'm holding his hand, and he said, "Dave, we're not alone. We're not alone." And I knew what he was talking about. I squeezed his hand, and I said, "Thanks, Pop."
These guys are so terrified or threatened or don't want to lose their pension or have their families, you know, being threatened that they don't want to say anything until they're on their deathbed. And what's wild is that they say he was even active in this whole conspiracy or project all the way up until he was on his deathbed, man, on his deathbed. Could you imagine being on your deathbed in the hospital and you're like, "Yeah, man, I'm dying, but okay, what else do you need? Okay, I would tell him to do this. I would tell him to get into that UFO using a acetylene torch and put three fingers on instead of four, you know, because, you know, the aliens got three." I'm making this shit up, but you know what I mean. You know, just like, I mean, you're freaking dying. You're in pain. You're having a hard time breathing, and you're trying to give him information that's just... It was fucking mind-boggling, dude. It's fucking mind-boggling that they pushed him that far, but that's what they did. So, could you imagine, like, you know, starting this show, and he's interested in certain cases, but he had no clue that his grandfather was doing all this extra stuff until he interviewed his dad, and his dad started pulling out all these documents that he had, and then they started piecing everything together and saying, "Hey, this is what happened at this time. This is where he was during this flap. Oh yeah, that flap happened. Oh yeah, he was there at the exact same time. Oh, I called him here, and then he answered, you know, he was able to respond while he was here, you know." And it all comes together. I mean, this dude was probably in the deep, you know, deep state of secrecy and compartmentalization. So could you imagine doing research, you being a UFO researcher, right? We all are. If we're listening to this podcast, we're all researchers. We're all trying to find out the truth. And let's say you're doing research on a particular crash, and then you happen to find out that, you know, you're talking to your mom or your dad, and they're like, "Oh, yeah, I think, you know, my dad was in the Air Force." "Oh, yeah, what did he do?" "Well, he said he was a scientist." "Well, where did he work?" "Well, he worked at this secret government facility where we know now, years later, that they were keeping ships from outer space and highly secretive items and objects, maybe even alien bodies." "Oh, okay, well, let's see where he was during this time period." "Oh, he was down in, New Mexico during this crash, or he was down in, Pascagoula, down at this alien abduction case. One of the most famous cases of all time." I mean, dude, it would blow your mind. It would blow your mind, blow my mind. I mean, my dad was in the Air Force, but he wasn't, you know, doing all that. He was in Vietnam. So, but if he was definitely a secret agent or something like that, I would hopefully be told. I have had family friends that have interviewed their parents. One in particular who basically said, He works on alien stuff. He just wasn't able to say what. So I don't know if he was a researcher, not a researcher, but you know, like a Men in Black, or if he was a guy that would go out to these sites, or if he was a disinformation agent. I mean, he won't say, or he wouldn't say. I don't know if he's even still alive, but it was proven, you know, that he, you know, the family said, he did work for the Air Force. He did do this, and he has been in for this amount of time and whatever. So, yeah, I mean, there you go. So, what do you think? Wouldn't it be fascinating to find out one of your family members was one of the deep state agents? Would you feel bad? Would you feel guilty? Would you feel like, oh, man, part of my bloodline is part of the people that have been keeping this secret? Well, not necessarily. I mean, if he was just working on the stuff, he wasn't necessarily trying to keep it a secret. But it's kind of like guilt by association, right? If you're working on it and you don't come out and tell everybody, you know, in a press conference, are you guilty of a secret by omission, right? Kind of, but you're working for the government. The government's supposed to be the good guys, and you have this dichotomy of trying to be a good person and also trying to keep your job and trying to take care of your family. And which one comes first? The people out there needing to know about aliens, or you keeping your job and you keeping your family safe and not being threatened by the government? You see what I'm saying? So it becomes pretty easy to understand why a lot of these guys don't come forward, because it doesn't benefit them really at all. It more threatens them than anything, unless they're single and they don't have people that are, you know, they got to worry about, and they have maybe some protection. You know, it's like being like an undercover agent with some police force or some federal agency. You know, your life is on the line. So anyway, guys, I hope you guys have a great weekend. Fantastic weekend. Sorry the last episode had to cut short. Technical difficulties, but I promise to bring you another one right quick and easy coming up here. So enjoy. I hope you take care of yourselves physically, spiritually, and emotionally, following through on your hobbies and your goals and your dreams. And as always, continue to question the universe around you. Until next time, guys, take care. Please like, follow, share, subscribe, and Lockdown Universe is out. Peace.